broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February 28th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our 2 of 2. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders, one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole lot to talk about. The good doctors in the house, Dr. Scott Bradley, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match, to preserve the nation, his website to get all that done, where you can find weekly webinars, his collegiate series, and more, all available at freedomsrisingsun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thanks for the kind words and the welcome. We're looking forward to another week of exciting geopolitical activity around the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's start out. I've got so many topics to discuss. What I want to do is kick off a couple of quick topics. We'll get through those, and then I want to discuss some of last hour's discussions that we had with Lowell Nelson as well. First, though, I want to talk about this smart card discussion. What is a smart health card, you may ask? The smart health card, ladies and gentlemen, is a digital or, quote, printed QR code that provides proof of vaccination or shows recent test results. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, many Utah states have outlawed what they call vaccine passports, and good for them. But ladies and gentlemen, you're being schnookered, you're being played with, you're being lied to. Although many states have outlawed vaccine passports, the quote, smart health card is being rolled out across the country with help from the private sector, even in the red states that claim they're against vaccine passports. Technology, believe it or not, from the Boston Children's Hospital was used to create the smart health card. All thanks to innovation from the Vaccination Credential Initiative, VCI, in other words. Vaccination Credential Initiative, VCI. The VCI is a, quote, consortium of key players, ladies and gentlemen, in the tech and healthcare space, and it includes huge corporations like Microsoft, Salesforce, Oracle. And the Mayo Clinic, just to name a few, okay? Now, they want you to believe in its simplicity to where you think it's no big deal. Number one, they want you to know it's not a mandate. Not a mandate. Number two, the only information they say displayed on the card is the holder's name and date of birth, as well as clinical information relating to your vaccinations and or COVID tests. This includes the date, type, location of a vaccination, as well as the, you know, the date and the manufacturer of the test and everything else, or the, quote, vaccine that you were given. It is scanned by the health card verification app, which will display either red, orange, or green, depending on the validity of a person's card. Where can I get a smart health card, you ask? People who got vaccinated at private clinics and pharmacies across the country, like CVS, Walgreens, or Walmart, will receive a code through those companies. They say we've got most of the big pharmacy chains, all of the key health systems in place for this. Several states have already agreed to adopt this health card standard, ladies and gentlemen, the cards will be automatically provided by the healthcare providers, but can also be requested through their websites. It can be saved in Google Pay or Apple Wallet. And you say, what can I do with my smart health card, huh? They're used as, quote, verification by a number of bars, restaurants, sporting events, and other businesses. Their use is expected to spread across the country as the fourth wave of COVID, they say, shows no signs of subsiding. However, that's a lie too, right? Countless universities and colleges have also started to require routine testing or vaccination proof for students who want to attend college in the fall. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, despite our objections, quietly and over some objections, the National Digital Vaccine Card has emerged. It's a smart health card, and it's voluntarily adopted and minimal in terms of your privacy. Bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it or not, about 200 million people in the United States now have access to this available card now. Again, they say after a relatively quiet start, it has built momentum in recent months as more states and companies have signed on. In fact, it's a national de facto standard now. They say this has largely been a grassroots effort, not only to have it take hold, but to develop so completely and so quickly without being mandated. Now, this, my fellow Americans, is disaster on steroids. We've all been so busy saying no vaccination passports. We've sued them in the courts. We've taken them on in the legislative bodies everywhere. And they heard us loud and clear. And they backed off. And now that the elections are coming up, they're backing off vaccines mandates, backing off masks mandates, backing off literally everything, because they know what you haven't known until now, which is they've got the private sector in bed with this to the point where it's not mandated, but it's become the de facto standard, to where at first it's voluntary. At first it's minimal in your information. But then once we voluntarily adopt it without mandate, well, it reminds me of the story of the pigs, the big feral pigs, and the farmer wanted to catch these pigs and eat them. And you know what? The pigs were just too wild, too ferocious, too crazy, couldn't get her none. But he decided just to bring food, put it in a spot, bring food, bit in a spot, no traps. Then keep doing it. And eventually, you know what? He built one side of a fence. The pigs thought it was weird, but no big deal. They could still get their food and leave freely. Before you know it, the pigs were penned. They were caught. They were trapped. That's what's happening here, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it seems like you've very adequately reviewed the issue. I mean, I say blah, 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 because that's the way they're always doing it. And right now, everybody, well, not everybody, but virtually everybody is so done with these phony baloney things that have been going on for 2 years. Everybody's kind of moving on with life. But just like with the big tech companies censoring and deplatforming and all that kind of stuff, it's going on behind the scenes with those that have a big footprint. I call it a footprint because it really is a boot on your neck. And so, yes, I see visions of Stasi and KGB and Gestapo papers as they go through things like this. And it really is marching on with the agenda that they've got, in spite of the fact that everybody virtually is done with it. We've moved on. We know better now that those that are going to get it. Those that aren't going to get it, don't get it. But it's around. It's no matter what they say they're going to do, masks or vaccines, clot shots, whatever you want to call them, it's one of those things where it marches on and it's going to do what it's going to do, just like the flu does or anything else that's moving through society. And they're completely powerless to make any difference on it. But I think it is a move more to this tracking and tracing thing. I see that when so many people have these, that well, maybe they'll be interactive with people on the, walking on the street. You'll have sensors that read other people's. I mean, I can see this thing easily metastasizing into a full-blown cancer on society where everybody's got their ID and their presence known wherever they go in almost anything. It was probably nearly 20 years ago that Tom Cruise put out a movie called The Minority Report, where the tracking and sensing and everything was constantly reviewing every single person that walked in a store or whatever. This is the nature of the beast, and it is a beast. It's, I sadly say, very much on the trajectory of the mark of the beast found in Book of Revelation, chapter 13, where you can't buy or sell, do business, or do anything, for that matter. In fact, I think we've talked about this on the radio program. Well, it sounds like we got to take a quick break for a little commercial, but I'm sure we'll be back.
You got it, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, live and on your radio, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Scott Bradley's website. You can go ahead and watch the weekly webinars and a whole lot more there. Incredible treasure trove of information, to say the least. FreedomsRisingSun.com. These smart health card verification tools via QR code are a disaster. And on one hand, we can say blah, 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 and I understand that because, hey, you know what? It's the private sector. They have no really authority. But the bottom line is, if you get big business on this and create a national de facto standard, and then after a while, government decides to make laws that surround that de facto standard, they're as unconstitutional as all get out. They violate all kinds of privacy issues. It's disaster. But yet, you know what? They could eventually force this. They say, don't worry, it only has your name and your birth date on it, and then some information regarding your vaccination status or testing status, no big deal. But you're going to have that to fly. You're going to have that to go into a restaurant or a store or whatever. You know what? The problem is they can tie that with your name and your birth date to your driver's license information, to your Social Security information, to your banking information. Eventually, they can back this into a social credit score based on all these factors. And you know what? In America, they've been able to do this literally without, quote, firing a shot, without passing any law, without mandating anything. In fact, they're backing off the mandates, making you feel real good right now. Dr. Bradley, this is my concern. They'll turn this into a de facto social credit score, won't they?
Highly likely that this is going to, as I say, metastasize. Think of cancer. It's going to become fully infected. It's always just a little bit. Well, back in the early part of the 20th century, there was an Italian communist named Antonio Gramsci. And he was full-blown communist, and he went to, after the Bolshevik Revolution, he went to go celebrate with his comrades, you know, Lenin and Stalin and the boys, went to Russia, nearly was put to death there because he differed somewhat from the way they wanted to do it. They wanted to do it with the barrel of a gun and the point of a bayonet and an artillery round or whatever. He wanted to do it a slice at a time, and the slice at a time was through legislative enactment and encroachments that happened just, you know, kind of naturally and by attrition, wore things down. And that's not the way the Lenins and Stalins wanted it to happen, but he was absolutely, completely committed to the Marxist concept of lack of private property, you know, government control, that all that stuff, overthrowing of all society. And he was able to get back into Italy. He was ultimately put in prison. Remember, the fascists were fashionable, if you will, in that time with Mussolini. But he wrote, I think, 11 volumes while in prison about this slice at a time communism. And it's basically what we're doing in this country right now on so many elements. We take a little slice here, a little slice there, and pretty soon you have the whole loaf of bread, but they do it legislatively and quietly without this complete upheaval that happens the way Lenin and Stalin were doing it. But nonetheless, you end up with the same outcome. And that's basically how things are happening today. And they're using these high-tech companies that are absolutely aligned with the establishment globalist perspective. We can do things now, building dossiers on people that the Nazis and the you know, their Gestapo people and the KGB people in Russia and the Stasi in East Germany could only have dreamed of. They put it in a folder and put it in a file, and if somebody went and took it out and looked at the right one, they had some information, but it wasn't nearly as complete as what's happening in the United States today and literally around the world. I mean, with every single conversation documented, every phone call, every text message, every email, every radio program, I might add, everything is completely going into a database, and they have the computer power to do great analysis on those kinds of things. And as you point out, they'll ultimately be collated together for some, I'm sure, nefarious purpose. Free societies don't do that. Free people are not tracked and traced like we're doing. This stuff that they're using as an excuse, a virus, for heaven's sake. There have been hundreds of millions of viruses over the course of mortality. And our bodies have mechanisms, natural immune systems that build immunity. All the systems work together. God delivered these things, ultimately and finally. There's great spikes in those that are getting the dread disease that have been vaccinated fully, completely, not only double vaccinated, but a couple of booster shots. It's completely ineffective. People are going to get it or they're not. And if they do, they either die or they get an immunity. I mean, come on, people. We are destroying our society and building basically a a totalitarian environment in which everything and everybody is kept track of by those that are in charge. And again, the big tech, you look at the names that you mentioned, Sam, of these people that are there. These people would not be doing that if they did not expect there would be a large financial return, if they weren't doing it at the behest of some agency. No, nothing's to see here. No, look over there. There's no government involved in this. That is a Bravo Sierra statement if I ever heard of it. And that's kind of where we're going with this. And it is something we need to be aware of and resist. And I suspect that you're going to continue to see this grow and progress in spite of the efforts by politicians that want to get reelected in this election year that are saying, oh, no, not us. No, we're all for freedom. We're getting rid of the mask mandates. I mean, these are the people that for the last 2 years were issuing draconian orders about this, that were locking us down in violation of habeas corpus. You know, you can't be imprisoned without a due process and a hearing and all those kinds of things. Oh, no. There's no guilt. I guess there is. You're all assumed guilty. So we're all going to lock you down. I mean, the ability to worship, forget it. You can't go to your church, or your temple, or your synagogue, or your mosque, or whatever. Forget that idea. It's not there. Assembly, forget it. It's not there. And they have deep-sixed everything in the name of a virus, which, you know, it's arguably very similar to other things that have faced the world, and time has marched on, and we've gone forward. But
ladies and gentlemen, here's the grand point of it all. In my opinion, Dr. Bradley, you can take off on this as well. But you know what? Right now they've eased things. They're saying, hey, we'll back off on the mask. We'll back off on the vaccine mandates. We'll back off. You're allowed to go to church again. No worry, no harm, no foul. But remember how hard they locked us down. And virtually nobody really complained. I mean, yeah, a few of us, a few loud voices, and a few, but look, nobody really complained. Most people complied. Many people are still wearing masks now, even though they're told they're not even necessary. Okay, so here's the point. When will the next one happen? And will they lock us down harder and longer? When will the next reason be? They might even let it go for 5 years. I don't know the timetables. But I'm telling you, they've proven they can do it. And once they've proven they can do it, their appetite for doing this will make it impossible for them not to do it again. Dr. Bradley, that's really the takeaway here.
Well, indeed, it is. It's the nature and disposition of almost all men, as soon as they get a little authority, to begin to abuse that authority. And thinking minds have known this. Daniel Defoe in 1701 said all men would be tyrants if they could. Lord Acton, 100 years after the Constitution Convention, said power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's a well-documented fact. And yes, indeed, I think that they're sucker-punching us. Anybody that had anything to do with what happened over the last 2 years, I really believe should be removed from office. They've proven they're unworthy of our trust. They've proven that they are willing to step on any right or privilege. That the whole process, the whole concept of constitutions is limiting power. And they have specifically, and we could go through detail upon detail of how that fact is, and yet they ignored their oath of office. They were unfaithful to the trust that was given to them. They swore before God and all of us that they would keep their actions within the limits and bounds, and yet they didn't. And I don't think they could be trusted for the next go-around. Again, when will it be? Who knows?
Maybe. Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause, then back with Dr. Scott Bradley. I want to talk about the pro-life, pro-death battle in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Day 5 of the Russian invasion into Ukraine. Many experts said the country would fall over the weekend. It did not, as the resolve of the Ukrainian people is reminding Americans what freedom is all about. As Russia has amassed a large column of war equipment and supplies just outside of Kyiv, British Defense Secretary Ben Wallace tells LBC what he knows.
About 30 kilometers to the northwest is the big armored column that has been shown on the media to some extent, and they're all in a sort of line waiting to try and go forward. They have slowed because of, again, strong Ukrainian resistance. Obviously, the tactic of the Russians is to try and encircle Kiev.
Ukrainian and Russian officials are holding talks at a venue near the Belarusian border. Joe Biden's Justice Department ended a Trump-era program that countered Chinese espionage against the United States. The DOJ claimed it created a climate of fear among Asian Americans. USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15, decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
As many Americans have grown weary of government officials and their COVID mandates, New York is changing gears.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul made the announcement Sunday afternoon.
Given the decline in our rates, our hospitalization, strong vaccination rates, and the CDC guidance, my friends, the day has come.
As students return to school this week, the statewide mask mandate will be lifted.
However, there are some states, some counties in the state of New York where they have a higher rate of transmission. We will allow them the flexibility to determine what's best for their county.
Case in point, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who wants another week to see if COVID cases go down even further. If that happens, the city will lift its mask mandate for public schools next Monday. It will also remove the key to NYC, city vaccination requirements for restaurants, entertainment, and fitness centers at that time. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio. Did you hear them at the bottom of the hour? We'll allow counties to, you know, do what they want to for the time being. We'll allow. Think who's just, you know, they think they're gods, don't they? We think we can just allow and control all around the world at our whim, don't we? From counties to states to general government to globally and internationally, you have thugs at the top. Who really believe that they're literally godlike figures and can do whatever they want to do. They'll allow this. They'll arm Ukraine. They'll allow your county to this. They'll, man, Russia's out of control. You gotta, and it goes on and on and on. Well, now they're doing that over life and death even more so, ladies and gentlemen. So ahead of this Supreme Court discussion on pro-life, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know some very important statistics relating to the pro-death movement. Are you ready? Medication-induced abortions accounted for 54% of all abortions in the United States in 2020. That's according to the Guttmacher Institute, ladies and gentlemen. Abortion pills have grown in popularity since they've been introduced in 2000. So since the year 2000, in a short 22 years, now 54% of all murders, or they would say abortions, in the United States were of the chemical kind, 54%, so well over half. Now, understand that chemical abortions, ladies and gentlemen, end pregnancies through a two-drug regimen. Regimen, I should say. The first drug blocks the natural hormone, progesterone, starving the developing baby of nutrients. So first, they literally starve the baby to death. Then the second drug induces labor to expel the baby from the womb. In other words, the idea here with these thugs who turn their back on God Almighty's pro-life plan, and their idea is yeetus the fetus. Just go ahead and starve it to death, kill it, and wash it out of the body. Flat out murder, chemical style. Now they're also, because of Joe Biden and because of COVID, don't you know, then they say, well, you know what? Women don't even really have to see a physician. They can have just kind of an online virtual discussion, and then the pills come in a very discreet envelope of murder, Dr. Bradley.
It's enduring all mortality. As long as there's been records, there has been an understanding that it was wrong for a mother or collaborating with a man to kill the baby growing within her. And it's interesting, back in 1765, the first volume of Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law came out. And that, of course, was immediately shared with the American brethren, if you will, by shipping it here to North America. In the original Volume 1, on page 125, now listen to how this correlates with what you're talking about right now.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, this is what, 1765 range?
Yes.
This is before the Revolutionary War.
Correct.
So we're talking about 250 years or whatever it is, right?
Easily, yes.
A little more. And what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear, the same issue. This has been going on since Cain killed Abel, ladies and gentlemen.
Truly.
Dr. Bradley.
All right. So it says in his book, life is the immediate gift of God. Okay, there we go. We brought God into this again. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These things are found interwoven with everything we've got. A right inherent by nature in every individual, and it begins in contemplation of the law as soon as an infant is able to stir in the mother's womb. Understand, the technology at that time did not have, you know, sonograms and all that kind of stuff. At any rate, based on what they could understand in their time frame, that's when life was. For if a woman is quick with child, and by a potion, or a pill in our day, or otherwise killeth it in her womb, or if any one beat her, whereby the child dieth in her body, and is delivered of a dead child, this, though not murder, was by the ancient law homicide or manslaughter. So they hearken this back thousands of years. But as present, it is not looked upon in quite as atrocious a light, though it remains a very heinous misdemeanor. An infant in the mother's womb is supposed in law. Now, this is, again, contradictory to what these black robe judges today. Oh, we don't know when life begins. We can't say, so we're not going to. But listen to this. An infant in the mother's womb is supposed in law to be born for many purposes. It is capable of having a legacy or a surrender of a copyhold estate made to it. It may have a guardian assigned to it. It is enabled to have an estate limited to its use and to take afterwards by such limitation as if it were then actually born. And in this point, the civil law agrees with ours. Okay, so it is, according to the law, before the law, a living person, even though it has not been born. That was the tradition that was understood and clearly applied by the American Founding Fathers. So, it has legal standing. This baby does. And now what we're doing is by a potion or otherwise, as it says in this statement in here, that they kill the baby in the womb. And it was known, clearly understood, the complete wrongheadedness of this whole thing. And yet today, the judges and the chemistry companies, the pharma companies, these are the benevolent companies that are saving our lives with a clot shot, you know. All of these companies are always looking for another way to make a quick buck. There are billions upon billions of profitability. Part of it is built upon the dead bodies of children, the most innocent, the that have no voice. They're completely that they're dependent upon us to try and help them. And yet, as you point out with this statistic, the Guttmacher group, they track abortions in the United States. They are considered the definitive statistical analysis on these kinds of things. And they're saying over half the babies now are being killed, that are being killed, are being killed by a potion or otherwise, as the Blackstone put it. So they take chemicals that end up killing the baby. I'm just wondering, it's got to be destructive somehow of their own bodies, these women that do this, and certainly of their souls. And I would suspect that there's many that have deep regrets that haunt them the rest of their life about what they have done with what was entrusted to them, literally in the role and nature of women by God, and have turned their back on that. I just have to wonder if in the deep recesses of their mind, in the quiet of the night when there's no one there to drown out their thoughts, that this doesn't come back to haunt them. So it's a very heavy burden that we've put upon society. And since Roe v. Wade in 1973, I don't know the number exactly, but 60-some million of the generation of my children, I mean, all that's been happening since my children and grandchildren were born, 60-some-odd million Americans. Now, that's not to consider the whole world. I mean, it's rampant in other countries like China with the one-child policy they had for so long. But we've been killing. We've been killing our posterity at such a horrendous rate. It's exceeded the statistics, and it's hard to get an exact count of the total death count of World War II, but it's somewhere in the range of 55 million. In the United States alone, since Roe v. Wade, over 60 million, probably 62, 64 million, somewhere in there, of our own children within this country alone. This is not a worldwide count. And World War II, where everybody was bent on killing each other all across the world, they only, quote-unquote, killed 55 million with that intensive effort at mass murder, institutionalized and legalized. Now it's institutionalized and legalized to kill our own here in America. What an atrocious thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, and there are consequences for murderous actions. Let's be very, very clear. And they're not fun consequences, I might clarify. Hang tight, Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, in seconds on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman making a great appeal to stand for pro-life and against pro-death. I'll tell you that, ladies and gentlemen. Also telling you, look, these de facto, quote, smart cards are disaster indeed. All right, now Nebraska senator is a GOP senator, Ben Sasse. I think he's whacked out of his gourd, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this again. Nebraska GOP Senator Ben Sasse. He's whacked out of his gourd, in my opinion. Here's what he did. He stated this of Ukraine, that the U.S. should be arming them to the teeth, and that the U.S. should provide tactical, actionable intelligence on top of arming them to the teeth so they can kill Russian invaders. Morning Joe is where this was said by the senator. Shame on him. We should avoid foreign entanglements, as the founding fathers warned. This, again, is just another pro-death agenda, ladies and gentlemen. How many people have been murdered in war? How many people have been murdered in abortions? You know, I don't know worldwide, ladies and gentlemen, but the numbers are staggering. From Holodomor to World War II to Vietnam to the Gulf Wars, etc., and now this, and you got senators literally saying, arm them to the teeth, provide intelligence for more murder. Dr. Bradley is off his rocker.
You know, it's interesting to me. There's always those that are justifying the marching off to war and getting a bunch of people killed. It is legalized, institutionalized mass murder. And let me just, I'll just share with you something that Senator John F. Kennedy said not long before he was elected President of the United States. And all of us know how this turned out happily ever after. But it all sounds so logical and so completely unassailable and so high-minded. But it unravels. Now, here's what Kennedy said. Vietnam represents a test of American responsibility and determination in Asia. If we are not the parents of little Vietnam, then surely we are the godparents. We presided at its birth. We gave assistance to its life. We have helped to shape its future. As French influence in the political, economic, and military sphere has declined in Vietnam, American influence has steadily grown. This is our offspring. We cannot abandon it. We cannot ignore its needs, and if it falls victim to any of the perils that threaten its existence, communism, political anarchy, poverty, and the rest, then the United States, with some justification, will be held responsible, and our prestige in Asia will sink to a new low. Okay, folks, there's slight variations of this. Every time we decide we're going to chase down the boogeyman on behalf of somebody else, and we engage ourselves in something that we're not supposed to be. I remember when I was running for vice president, somebody asked me a question about, tell me about Aleppo. Well, of course, Aleppo is in Syria, and of course, most people didn't know that. But the fact of the matter is, I says, when I hear that word, I think back on other places we should not have been. The Odrang Valley, the Oshaw Valley, Wei, Kaysan, Tansanut. I mean, many of us lost good friends in these places, but we had no justification for being there, and we were warmongers spreading death and destruction to the benefit of the military-industrial complex that has an unending appetite for taxpayer dollars. And I, whether it's Sass or Lindsay or whomever you talk about, we need to go back to the founding principles of this nation. We need to recognize the limits and bounds that the American founders put on warfare. Congress has power to declare war. Nobody else can. Congress has to step up, do the examination, to go through the process. There is none of this, oh, let's send bazillions of dollars over there and abandon it when we walk away and, you know, all of the Afghan thing. Billions and billions of armaments that will be used against everybody in the world, ultimately and finally. It is absolutely absurd how we continue to get sucked into this vortex of warfare when the American founding fathers had a completely different viewpoint about how things should be. We don't go abroad searching for monsters to destroy, as, you know, paraphrasing what John Quincy Adams says. We only are the ones that are looking out for our own. And if, in fact, we are going to engage for whatever reason, for justice or mercy or because it's right, whatever you want to put to it, it has to go through the process. And we have absurdly, unconstitutionally ignored that in every instance since World War II. Never at any time in my lifetime has there ever been a constitutional conflict. And we are truly, we're more warmongers. Our nation has become a warmongering nation. We have become the largest arms supplier. We are more engaged than anybody else. We're drawn in by what we say are treaty obligations. Boy, we could spend some time talking about Article 5 of the NATO treaty, which we're trying so hard to invoke by putting opportunities for us to bump in to the Russians and say, we're invoking Article 5 of the NATO treaty, which says that if anybody that's one of our NATO allies ends up having some kind of an incident with somebody else, we're automatically in war. We are led by idiots and buffoons. I don't care if they have an R or a D in back of their name.
It's a Republican, Democrat, deep state cabal. They love war. They back the military-industrial complex, and we got to be wise enough to get out of it. But whether we're killing through war and unjust war, whether we're killing through unjust, murderous abortions, ladies and gentlemen, now Joe Biden to nominate Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court, ladies and gentlemen. This will be disaster, too. And she'll be the one around when they decide this abortion case, I think, as well. So we got to row to hoe on standing for pro-life. We got to row to hoe to stay out of unjust wars, Dr. Bradley. These two issues are probably one of the, or two of the biggest issues confronting us right now.
Well, I'm not so sure that this nominee for the Supreme Court is going to have smooth sailing. You know, there's a split. If everybody's healthy, between the Dems and the Repubs in the Senate. And of course, Kamala will cast a vote that breaks a tie. But the senator from, New Mexico, he's had a stroke. And I don't believe he's regained enough health to be able to sit in his seat in the Senate right now. And he's a Democrat, and so it's a 49-50 split right now. And I'm not so sure that this candidate that has been nominated is going to sail through, and she should be thoroughly vetted, examined. It is a political agenda that's being fostered. It is racist to the core. Everything that has been said and done on this violates anything of principle. And they say, we need a black woman. They've never had this situation. You know what? What does this have anything to do with color of skin or gender? It has to do with preserving our nation. And, Joe Biden, I guess we could have trusted he was going to make a bad choice, and we do have to. And I'm not so sure it was his choice. I tell people I'm not so sure he realizes which bedroom he wakes up in every morning, and because I think he has to kind of be retrained. It's kind of like the 50 date syndrome from that movie. There isn't a lot of continuity going backwards.
Yes, there
but,
is.
But somebody in his power circle has done that, you know. And so we have a bad choice before us. And it is based upon all the wrong reasons. You know, the and they try to spin it as much as they can, in like they're doing this for the most egalitarian reasons possible. But honestly, it's a racist philosophy that's agenda-driven.
There's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be disaster. I agree. I don't know if she'll sail through or not, but you know what? Just when I think that we've got enough mojo and backbone on the, whatever you want to call it, conservative side or something, they betray us, and we're like, oh, wow. Okay. So beware of that. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of these stories we're talking about are headlines. We could spend a half hour, hour on each of them easily. But I want to get to one more before the end of the hour. According to a study from Wallet Hub, they say this: Nevada is the most sinful state in the union or in America. Okay, Nevada is the most sinful state, followed by California, Texas, Florida, and Louisiana. That rounded out the top five. Now, the study was based on anger and hatred, jealousy, excesses, and vices, and greed, Dr. Bradley.
No, I can understand how they might have used those as the ranking factors, but I think something that's absolutely, unequivocally, completely left off that must be considered, theft is another thing. And you say, theft, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do how we establish our government agencies as our agent to go out and take from one and give to another. So we have a redistributive wealth process. And I believe that the false philosophies of Marxism that have become almost universal in the United States need to be considered in there, because we are using our agent, government, and we'll never be punished for it. Well, at least unless God does. But we won't be put in prison for using that agent to oppress our fellow man, to take away our agency, to legalize abortion, to take us to war, to take our hard-earned property and goods. And surely some of these places that are mentioned are heavily involved in that. But I would submit to you that Utah, the state of the red state of Utah, is heavily engaged in that also.
The most conservative in the union.
Yeah, well, we can argue. I would argue that against that inherently and incessantly.
I joke because they say it's the most religious, the most conservative. It isn't, folks. That's the problem.
Well, that's the thing. We use government to fulfill an agenda that is not appropriate. I believe that that is unrighteous. And where we use the force, the gendarmes, as Bastiat talked about it in the law, the gendarmes are on the side of those that are violating moral principle. The police force. You look at what happens with almost anything that's going on now. The police force have become not a protector of God-given rights so much as a Praetorian Guard. What's a Praetorian Guard? It's a palace guard. It's to maintain the power and influence of an establishment group. And I think that ought to have been considered in how we measure the righteousness, if you will, of a state. And I think every state needs to examine within their hearts how that force of government is being used.
When the people are afraid of the government, we have tyranny. When the government's afraid of the people, we have liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Just look around. Be alert. Look alive. Turn to God. Turn to the principles that made America great. And we can do it again. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. For Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Donate liberally. Get involved. We can all make a difference together. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.